Do you miss live local music as much as we do? Mark your calendars to once again enjoy live music at our Slug Picnic on July 25th. The Slug Picnic is a socially distanced outdoor concert right in front of the new Slug headquarters. So come on down, enjoy a food truck, local artisans, and some mellow tunes for the whole family. Limited tickets are available on slugmag.com.
Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
Have you ever had your eyes open? So full of excitement in ways you hadn't seen since you were just a few years old. Have you ever?
My name is Teague Chubeck. I currently perform under the name Peter Chubeck. My music is most often described in the genre of folk punk. And I guess that's where I would place it. I like to refer to it as folk storytelling. The overall focus of my music under Peter addresses recovery. It centers on overcoming awful past traumas and experiences by using positivity, as well as talking about living and coping with mental illness using optimism instead of rage.
And I never thought I'd ever wanna see tomorrow. I never thought I'd ever love something today. I never thought I'd ever get over what happened yesterday. But I never thought I'd wanna see tomorrow.
Ever since I was little, I struggled with social anxiety. And at some point, I decided to basically just give up on trying to communicate my thoughts to people. It was so bad, I can recall multiple occasions when I was hanging out with friends and someone who was new in our group would say, "Hey Teague, you haven't said anything, tell me about yourself." And before I'd even have the chance to speak up, one of my friends would then say, "Hey, this is Teague, he doesn't really say much, so I'm gonna tell you about him." Back as a teenager, whenever someone would step up like that, it felt really good for a couple reasons. It meant, one, I knew I had a friend who knew me well enough who could do that, which just always made me really happy to think that I had connected with someone well enough that they still got through to me and got to understand me, even though I have trouble trying to do that, having trouble talking to people. But as time went on, I don't know, it got harder and harder to put up with because I was like, how am I gonna keep getting through life if I can't even say hello? Like, if I can't even be like, "Yeah, my name's Teague, and these are the things I like to do," I should be able to do that by now. Now add depression onto that, and I guess you have a feeling as to who I was back then.
But I never thought I'd wanna see tomorrow.
I was 14 or 15, I think I was 14, when I went to my first show. My brother, you could say, talked me into it. He kind of tricked me into it. He was my ride home from school. And he's like, yeah, no problem. I'll take you home from school. He goes, "I have to get something from a friend's house first." And I was like, "All right, fine, but I have homework. Let's go home." And he's like, "Yeah, no problem. I'll get you home. But first we're going to a friend's house." And then I show up to a friend's house and it's just packed of people. And I was like, "Skylar, what did you do?" And he's like, "All right, we're going home, but you got to see this band first."
Me and my guitar are crossing the border. Gonna meet up with a couple of friends down by the river.
It was so foreign to anything I'd experienced that I didn't know how to register it. You know, I walk into this tiny house and it's so packed that like the only way to move is to shove other people out of your way. And then you got crazy music coming from one side, and then suddenly people are trying to dance in the middle of all this. And I think I was just so confused initially that I just stood there and like didn't move for a while. This is so bizarre. I mean, as it went on, and I just kept like watching people, and it was fascinating because like all these people just having the time of their life in this tiny living room. And I was like, I never knew this world existed. And I kept going back to these shows and these houses and these venues because I felt safe there. And that's not something I had felt anywhere else.
I started writing songs because that's what my brother did. And ever since I can't remember, I just wanted to be like him. Until he started doing things that made me uncomfortable, like hitchhiking out to Cali, then train hopping back home. He wrote songs of his adventures, and they were inspiring, so I recorded them on my phone so they would always be with me. But I lost them when I got mad and threw my phone off a cliff. His songs were few of many that I lost when I did this. So when he gave me his guitar, I taught myself to play his songs, hoping one day at a show he would ask me to play along. I learned by playing all his songs, as well as Gary Ekro and James. And after all these years, I guess I just wanted to say thanks. I've been a part of this community since just 14 years old, and I still do not know how much value I really hold. Because I seem to place my worth on what I hear you people say, but I'm too scared to stick around for the whole show to hear it anyway. So not many know my real name or who I am when I don't sing. And I know it's my own fault, but it's the truth and it can sting. But now that you know my system, I feel like the data is all flawed, but not as flawed as I am when I think you want me gone. I have a confession to make, and I am being quite sincere when I say, when I first came out to shows, I thought you were something to fear. I guess my dad got in my head, and knowing him, I should know better. But I used to think a punk could never be a Christian debtor, and I feared when you discovered how religious that I was, I would be kicked out of the only place I really came to love. You don't believe the things I do, I don't believe the things you do, but you believe in me, and I believe in you. Of confrontation, yet I always start the fights. I'm bipolar, and sometimes I just can't see what is right. Yeah, things can get real tough sometimes, that's what I try to sing about, even if my poor vocabulary makes it hard to pick that out. And I often do songwriting because it feels so therapeutic to let out all these emotions I just don't know what to do with. And I always do my best to be kind to those I write about, unless that someone is myself, because I'm not someone that I care about. I put an inside joke in every song I ever write, but no one ever knows. So laugh because I won't let them inside. But now I am in therapy to work on liking who I am. And I fear that when this started, I wouldn't write a song again, because I'd have a healthy outlet for all the things I hate inside. But it turns out I can do both now, and I'm starting to feel alive. I must correct myself because I'm sure I'll always want to die. But I can start to see why some people enjoy being alive. I was asked once why I talk so much about depression. Why, if I want to help people, do I just keep screaming at them? And I swear I have an answer, but it's quite hard to explain. I guess because I have so many friends with chemically imbalanced brains, and they feel lonely or hopeless or undesired or just scared that they are the only ones with these emotions that randomly seem to flare, like they are looking at the world while locked inside a little cage. And I just want them to understand that I have often felt the same. And I have many friends who try their best to understand our pain when we are hurting, but they've never had a problem with their brains. And because it is so painful when the good friends get it wrong, we just stay silent. So I try to explain all that in a song and try again and again and try again and then again, because emotions are so difficult to explain to our friends. But I also sing songs about depression, about rage, about social anxieties and suicidal states, because I have to keep reminding myself that being alive is right, and that there are some things and people that make all this worth the fight. Sometimes when I write a song, I get real proud of myself until I go to the next show, and then I listen to someone else, and I think maybe it's best if I quit and never waste my time on all this music and emotion and getting into rhyme. And I could be the guy who goes to every show but never sings, and every band knows his face well but can't quite remember his name. And I could support indie music from the comfort of my room, and no one would look at me and say, don't you write music too? Because when people notice me, I'd rather be my phone thrown off a cliff. I still don't know the difference between a progression and a riff. I'm just a kid who tells sad stories while holding a guitar, and this all feels like a dream or a nightmare that went too far. I also do my best to address some happy thoughts, because there are too many bands that only sing sad songs, or that sing about corruption or oppression or of hate. And I'm sure we can't find joyful things through which we can relate. For example, I have a brother who encouraged me when he gave me his guitar, and he told me I could sing and people would listen because I matter to them, and I will always fight this strange fight to feel that love again. And I had a friend whose talent was far superior say, I want you on my show because I have somebody who needs to hear you. You may struggle with your voice or getting the guitar the way you want it, but you can show show emotion in ways that anyone could feel it. And I didn't know for a long time if my music had any value. But a friend called me recently saying there's something I should tell you, you see. I left my house intending this night to be my last. And I got out my iPod and I put it on full blast and I heard you sing. No, more than that, cause it wasn't in the music, I felt you sing. About hope and recovering, I knew I could still do this. My friend is out there somewhere, still traveling these states. And I write music cause I know somehow somewhere someone will relate.
As far as writing and playing music is concerned, that was really hard for me. Figuring out how to use my voice was hard. I struggled for a long time to figure out how to say the things I felt, and for a long time it came out just very chaotic. I guess it came out how you expect it to for someone who had never really expressed himself before. That's how it felt to me, though. I played for 10 years under the name Spobo, and most of that time was me just trying to figure out what my sound was and what my message was. There was a good couple year period where I was like, maybe it's time to start over, but I'm not sure. Because like, maybe I can do some new stuff. The real pushing factor behind it was how I felt after I performed at every show. Because I noticed there were songs that when I played, I left the show feeling very suicidal, or I left the show feeling exactly how I was when I wrote the songs. And because I wrote those songs when I was suicidal or when I was angry, that's how I felt when I finished playing. And although people probably enjoyed the songs, I was like, I can't keep doing this to myself. I was like, I can't go to a show, play for half an hour, and then just leave really hating my life. At that point, I knew I had to end the Spobo project and just start over. I wrote a couple songs at the end of Spobo where I was like, hang on, that did it. Because I was like, that still addressed depression, that still addressed anger. But I was like, I feel good when I do that. And I was like, maybe now I could still talk about what I want to talk about, but I don't have to do it in anger, or if that makes sense. I don't have to do it purely just to get the emotions off my chest, but maybe I can actually like think out what I'm going through and try to use those words to express what's happening as a way to, I guess, educate or help people see what's going on, as well as just to feel good later.
In my head, I was with you. I felt nothing could come between us. You were my outlet in Troy. And I am man of liars, but the die was cast. And as time passed, Aphrodite, she grew jealous. What we had, now here I am. Alone again and wondering, this was all just in my head. In my head.
Addressing mental illness in my music, it's important to me that I keep doing that, but it was also important that I changed how I did it. Because there were a couple key occurrences at shows that brought that to mind. The first was I met someone who had just gotten out of, I don't know if it was rehab or suicide watch or something, and they came to one of my shows and I played my song called Bipolar, and it's a very, very angry, loud song about all the rage that you have when you're in one of those manic states. And the person came up and they're like, I've never been able to express that to another person with words before. I mean, when you're bipolar, you're just wanting to yell and hit, and it's awful. And they're like, it felt really good to have somebody say what I've always felt. But then they came to the next show and I played it again. And the person came up to me and they said, I didn't need to hear that more than once. She said, that was very good the first time, but she goes, that song's too much to handle. She goes, it was good to know somebody felt that, but I don't want to hear you keep singing like that. And I was like, that's always stuck with me. They were the first person to say it like that. And then I talked to a couple other people at another show once, and they heard the same song. They were like, I never understood. So the person I was talking to, their husband has bipolar. And they're like, a lot of what he does makes sense now. They're like, he acted so crazy and erratic. And they're like, I didn't understand why. And they're like, I do now. But they're like, also, that song really scares me. So I was like, I have to be able to get the concept, the feelings behind it, but taking out the rage so that people can actually really understand the words that are being spoken.
Me and my guitar are crossing the border. Gonna meet up with a couple of friends down by the river. First time out of the States to play my own songs for people that I've never met. With hours to go, is it too early to be nervous? If I'm a name on a flyer in a rundown venue, I wouldn't have it any other way.
I sing about the same things that I used to. I still sing about depression, about suicide, and about addiction. And I still try to sing about traveling and punks and our little Salt Lake community. But the perspective has changed. Instead of singing about bipolar in a way that sounded like, hey, I'm really angry and I'm going to take it out on you right now because I have to get it out, I sing about bipolar in a way that's like, hey, I bet you don't realize it, but this is how your friend who has this mental illness is feeling. I'm trying to write about life inside of a mental hurricane by reminding everyone that the sun still exists and we'll see it again.
Memories of people I won't soon forget. With hours to go before our next stop in Alberta. If I'm a name on a flyer in a rundown venue, I wouldn't have it any other way. If I'm the penny spent to get you into the show, I hope you get to hear your favorite band play. When the music's over and it's time to go home, I just wanna hear you say, this night was worth it.
The song that you'll be hearing is the first song I wrote as Peter. It's called I Wrote You a Letter. The lyrics to the song were taken from letters and conversations I've had over the years with friends while we were fighting depression and suicide. It was very much meant to embody the hope of recovery, of progress, and getting better, while also acknowledging how important it is that we help each other in this process.
You wrote me a letter. You said that you're feeling empty, or at least that's the best way so far that you found to explain the way that you're feeling. I know you've been taking things out on yourself, 'cause old decisions you made have brought you to this place. I see a dandelion growing up through the concrete, and I'm sure that is not where it would like to be, but imagine the strength it took it to break free. You say it's not enough to be a flower in the street when you look up and see all your friends as green oak trees. But they really love you, and they want to help you. They're not growing so high to make you feel so low. They're trying to show you how to make your own roots grow. Please take my hand, I'm reaching out for you. I know with time you will make it through. You wrote me a letter. You said this time you'll try harder. No guarantee that you'll be here for more than 1 week. I said, friend, 1 week's a good starter. I've been in your place, so broken and afraid, where I hid from the world when all I needed was an embrace. No, I see a lighthouse, steadfast in the billows, nearly drowning yourself, yet you don't say a word until everybody else has gotten out of the storm. You say it's not enough to help everyone get out, because now that they're okay, you are alone in the swell. But they really love you, and they want to help you. They're not leaving the waves to make you feel unsafe, but they're marking a path to get you out of harm's way. Please take my hand, I'm reaching out for you. I know with time you will make it through. Thank you. letter this time. I'm not waiting around to get your goodbye. I know life's treating you hard tonight. You've made it through hard times. I did my best to explain to you that I know how it feels. I've walked in those shoes. I won't promise life gets better with time, but I promised you to. Try to write what you mean to me. But how can words explain these feelings? If you are feeling alone tonight, you can always talk with me. You wrote me a letter, said that you're doing better. But sometimes you're angry that you are still here. But you take that to mean that somehow you still care. You're holding on tight to the things that you've got. It's one day at a time, yes, things are looking up. I wrote you a letter. 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 We really love you. I wrote you a letter. We wanna help you. I wrote you a letter. We really love you. I wrote you a letter. We wanna help you.
Stuff can be found anywhere that they're streaming, as well as Bandcamp. I think the best place to look for it would be Spotify or Bandcamp under Peter Chubak. P-E-T-R-C-H-U-B-A-K. Once a month, I open for what is called the Beehive Benefit InstaFest, which is an Instagram live benefit show that happens once a month. If you follow Beehive SLC on Instagram, that's where all the posts are made regarding those shows.
The time's your cruel mistress left me bare-boned and cracked throughout the hall. Forgot what people saw from a distance. Not the same thing that lies in my soul.
If you enjoyed this episode of Sound Waves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.
Want Slug Magazine to come to you? Enjoy Slug Magazine all year long, no matter where you are. We offer subscription services to the United States for just $35 a year. Visit slugmag.bigcartel.com to sign up for your Slug Magazine subscription.